Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening to The Quality Hub, chatting with ISO experts. I'm your host, Xavier Francis, and I'm here with Joe Hill, Manager of Audit Services, and Suzanne Strasser, Vice President of Consulting and Development here at CORE. So glad you both could be with us today.
Glad I could be here as well, Xavier.
Yes, glad to be back.
Today's show is entitled Your Certification Audit, and we're going to cover what to expect during your certification audit. But first, let's learn a little bit more about our guest. Let's start with Joe. Welcome to the podcast, and we'd love to hear a little bit of your background.
Well, thanks again, Xavier. Joe Hill, Manager of Audit Services here at CORE Business Solutions. I've been with CORE approximately 6 years. Before joining with CORE, I did work for a registration body. Although qualified as an auditor, my primary role was actually the quality manager there. So I implemented the standards that the registrars have to adhere to. I was also in charge of our auditor pool there.
So you audited the auditors?
Audited the auditors. Yes, I did.
Wow, that's great. And Suzanne, I know that people who may have listened to the podcast before may be familiar with you, but could you give us a little bit about your history?
Sure. I've been in quality since the late 80s and around the ISO standards since the 90s and here at CORE for the last 20 years in various roles as consultant and then kind of overseeing some of our processes internally. So glad to be here.
Well, we're glad you both are here and appreciate you taking the time today. So over the last 6 podcasts, we've been covering planning, implementation, and reviewing of a quality management system. And we even talked about doing the internal audit. We're finally at our certification audit. Joe, what can we expect during our certification audit?
Yeah, so the big moment is here. We're here for the certification audit. Probably taken a few months in building the system, kind of preparing, training the employees, et cetera. And the certification audit is about to happen.
Yes, we got put it all together. Now what?
Exactly. So the certification body, their initial audit, they are required to do that audit in 2 stages. So they'll do a stage 1 audit and a stage 2 audit.
Will they be on separate days generally?
Yes, there is an expectation that there is some time frame between the stage 1 and the stage 2 audit. So the stage 1 audit, it's really just a high-level document review. The auditor is going to ask to look at things like your quality manual, any procedures that you may have written. They always ask to look at your most recent management review minutes as well as your last internal audit reports.
So they're checking what we've done at this point.
Yep. They're essentially just looking at your documented system to see if it appears that you are ready to go through with the full-blown stage 2 audit.
So if you're not, they put the brakes on and go, we're going to need you to look at this a little bit more before we hit stage 2?
Yes. Yes, they will indeed. So stage 1, it's that preparation. You know, it's kind of seeing if you are prepared to go through that full-blown stage 2 audit. If the auditor for some reason feels that you are not prepared, yes, they will kind of put the brakes on. They'll kind of delay the stage 2 if it had already been scheduled. They'll say, hey, we have a little bit of work to do before we can come in and do this stage 2. So occasionally they will postpone that stage 2 based on the stage 1 results.
Right. And I know because we really try to go in very prepared with our customers. So let's say we've hit with flying colors. They're ready to do the stage 2 audit. What is that?
So the stage 2 is probably more of what people would think of as an audit. The stage 2, the auditor is really going to dive into your operational processes, speak to employees, requests, records of evidence for various pieces of operations.
So this is almost like you're proving it.
Yep,
you're proving that you should be certified.
Yep. The stage 2 is the proof in the pudding that you have the quality system in place and you're in conformance.
So, you know, originally the audit was in one fell swoop. So they didn't have the 2-part audit and they'd found that folks weren't really ready. So that's why they actually broke it up. So like Jeff said, the stage 1 is really about, are you really ready to proceed on to the next step?
Well, and that probably saves everybody time
and
effort. I mean, you know, if you get everything planned out and then you're just not ready, you've wasted people's time. And money.
And yes.
This is not an inexpensive endeavor, so let's not spend money yet if we don't have to and we're not ready.
Exactly.
So we're here. We're sitting in our stage 2 audit. What is the registrar looking for? The auditor that is in front of us from a registrar body, what are they looking for?
Well, ultimately, the registrar is going to be looking for conformance to the given standard for which you are pursuing certification. Now, of course, there are many different standards out there.
Right. I mean, we're talking about quality, which in ISO, that's 9001. You might be looking at 45001. You might be looking at 14001 or 27001. That's an information management system. There's standards to so many things, AS 9100, 9120, but we're talking about quality here.
Right. So each individual standard has its own unique set of requirements and expectations, you know, of course, based on what standard it is. So the auditor is looking for conformance against that set of requirements. The registrar is required to assign an auditor who is not only qualified in the standard, but they also need to be qualified in your industry.
Right.
So depending on what industry you work in, the auditor should have some experience.
So manufacturing versus service. You should have somebody audit you who has worked specifically with manufacturing and all that type of stuff. They're not necessarily going to audit a service organization.
Correct. Even if you look at manufacturing, you can break that down even further as well.
So if someone has been in manufacturing, they wouldn't necessarily audit somebody who may be in the food industry.
Correct. Yeah, and you can even like metals industry versus plastics versus chemical manufacturers. So there's different industries, different manufacturing principles that apply to whatever that industry might be. So again, the registrar is going to assign an auditor that has experience in whatever industry that the customer is working in.
That makes total sense. So Joe, they're basically expecting us to meet the requirements of the standard we're being audited towards, or we just started the audit. What should we do during the audit?
Well, first and foremost, you really just want to be open, honest, and hospitable with the auditor. Really, the auditor is just there to have a conversation, you know, with you. I'm going to ask questions about your role, what you do at the organization. So just be honest and forthright.
So if they ask a question you're not sure about, don't try to hide that you don't know what it is?
Exactly. Don't try to hide anything. There's nothing wrong if the auditor asks you a question you don't know, or maybe you're not the appropriate person to address the question. There's really nothing wrong with, you know, telling the auditor that, you know, well, I really don't know the answer to that, or, well, I'm not the right person. You might want to go talk to this person for that.
Well, and we do have other people that are involved in the audit. It's not just a single person.
Exactly. The entire organization essentially is involved with the audit, top management, mid-level management, down to the shop employees. Anyone could be audited.
So I've been audited, and when I was audited, sometimes I was asked yes or no questions, and other times I was asked to explain something. And I know that I was told by my quality manager to not elaborate. Why would that be? Why would we not want to elaborate if they just ask me a yes or no question?
You don't want to provide too much information. It's kind of auditing 101. You know, if the auditor asks a yes or no question, answer yes or no and leave it at that. You know, allow the auditor to pull more information from you. You know, most of the auditors, in my experience, they do enjoy trying to find the staff who are the talkers. And they'll just let them talk and they'll just keep taking notes as long as they're talking.
What does that do from an auditing standpoint?
It can really open up some audit trails, you know, depending on how much information they're providing. It can just give the auditor some additional paths to follow.
Is that good or bad?
It could be either. It's a bit of a double-edged sword.
Maybe you're answering the questions the auditor would already ask after the yes or no question, but sometimes you might be answering something that, oh, I didn't think of that. Let me look into that to see what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had that happen one time in an audit, my first audit, and our auditor was pretty combative, and it was an area that I was concerned about. And we got through the audit okay, and at the very end, the supervisor of the area said, oh, wait, I have this report. Let's take a look at that. And I wanted to, you know, hit the guy, but, you know. We got through it.
Yeah.
It's really, there's a fine line. Of course, you want to be open and honest, but there is that fine line of, you know, providing too much information.
You almost want to look at it like a court case in some respects.
Oh, yeah.
Where,
yep.
You know, answer the question you're asked. You want to be forthright, you know, be honest with what you're answering, but you also don't want to elaborate too much and open a can of worms.
Exactly.
Couple other things that I think about, and I know we're talking to management reps here or the management of the company. First thing I tell my customers is that an audit is, in my view, a lot about impression management. So if you've cleaned up the organization, if you have coffee for the auditor when they walk in and treat them with respect, be confident about your processes. And a lot of folks are really proud of what they do. So that should come across. So that makes a difference, I think, to the auditor.
Oh, yeah.
I know it does to me when I, you know, when I audit a facility.
But it's one of those things, here, we're proud of what we've done. We really do think that we've done a great job here, which you should.
Right.
And say, hey, here, we want to show you it.
Just think of them as an important guest that's coming in. You want to make a good impression. Right. The other thing is, don't ever let the auditor wander off on their own. They should always be escorted by a member of management, especially if they, you know, are auditing frontline folks, you know, who get really nervous. You want somebody there to help kind of translate and not let them be on their own.
So you say you don't want them to be kind of let loose on their own, but everybody should be prepared for the audit.
Yeah, whatever processes are in scope in your business, and that can be pretty broad, it, you know, anybody could be audited.
Right. Now you need to know the quality policy, how that individual employee relates to the quality policy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's my role in this quality policy? Not just can I read it verbatim, but how does that apply to what I do here?
Yes. Yep. That and any metrics that are associated with your job. Absolutely.
Great.
Yep. I was just going to say any relevant objectives that the staff might have an impact on, they should be aware of those objectives as well.
Okay. So we talked about what we should do. Is there anything that we should not do during an audit? Now, we did talk about don't elaborate too much, but is there anything else?
Well, essentially just looking at the reverse side of the things you should do. You know, some of the most common no-nos during an audit are, of course, being dishonest, disruptive, argumentative. And again, that's not saying there's not room for healthy debate, of course, because as much as the standards do try to standardize things, there's still some areas that are open for some interpretation.
Right. And it's also how you've chosen how you're going to meet the requirement.
Exactly.
And the auditor may or may not see it from that perspective. So it's okay to say, well, this was our approach on this.
But again, there's that fine line between defending your position and just being argumentative with the auditor. And as we mentioned, you want to be cautious of providing too much information. Again, just answer the question that is asked and allow the auditor to, you know, pull more information out.
Yeah, and I think if you do have a concern about their interpretation, there are ways to handle it without being argumentative. You know, we provide a quality manual, not a requirement for 9001, but I tell my clients, if you have a question, ask the auditor where they're at in the standard and open up your quality manual to that section and then say something like, hey, I'm just trying to understand where you're coming from. This is what we say we do. Can you help me understand why this is a finding?
If you remember back a few podcasts, we did talk about the quality manual, it not being part of a requirement of the standard. But this is one of the reasons we do it.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing to remember is audits are open book tests. You can have the manual open. You can have your procedures. You
That's
can have
good
access.
To know. Yes. Yeah, you can have all the information you need to answer questions in front of you.
Right.
Well, it does seem like the audit can be a really big, stressful time, especially for people that their first time going through it. We're being certified. We don't know what to expect. This auditor is coming in. Audit is a big word. Nobody wants to be audited by the government or the IRS. So this can seem a little bit, you know, stressful. But if we do what you just said, you know, be honest, be forthright, just answer the questions, be polite, don't be argumentative, but it's okay to, you know, to ask a question mm-hmm. and for some clarification on things, we should be fine. Joe, are there any stories or thoughts that you have from your experience that you might want to share when it comes to, you know, a quality management system in general or during an audit? I mean, something you've seen that people have done or something that sticks out in your mind?
I think for the vast majority of the audits and customers I've worked with, you know, they've done well. They've approached it in the right manner. As far as actually talking with people, I did run into one case where I was doing the internal audit for a customer. The staff member that I was interviewing had never been audited, of course. And she literally started to have a panic attack. I asked her what her name was. She was fine. As soon as I asked her what her role was, I could just see she started to visibly tremble and the breathing was getting heavier. And I was like, okay, this is going off the rails very quickly.
Right.
So again, it's the approach. You want to try to keep people at ease. To your point, the word audit usually conjures some fearful images in people's minds. So I've always approached auditing, trying to, okay, we're just having a conversation. You know, put you at ease. Just tell me what you do here. So it's really interviewing people it's an art form.
Do you find most auditors that we've worked with are that way? Or does it run the gambit?
It runs the gambit. I think the most of the auditors that we work definitely have the right approach. They approach the customers, you know, with respect. They try to put them at ease. But I'm sure there are horror stories out there of you know, auditors who come in bringing the hammer.
Right.
It's not the auditor's job to find nonconformances.
Right.
It is their job to gauge your conformance against the standard. So they shouldn't be coming into an audit with the attitude of, I'm going to find nonconformances. They should be approaching it with, you know, I'm going to see how closely you are in conformance with the standard.
That's a great way to look at it, too, to know that maybe that can put some people at ease where they're not here to say, okay, we're going to find the problems. They're here to say, how close are you to answering the questions that you need to have for compliance?
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think there's a misperception, too, about before people go through this event that they think it's a pass-fail situation, and it's not. You know, there can be findings that get written up and then you address them. I mean, that's common.
Right.
So it's not like, oh, we totally fail because one person said something wrong.
Right. And next week, we're actually going to cover if there are any findings in our podcast. But, you know, again, you kind of want to be made aware of that, too. If there is something that maybe we aren't quite reaching the standard here, it's not like you fail and don't get certified. You have a way to fix that problem.
Right.
Get yourself into compliance and then be certified.
Yeah. And I think it's also important that the auditor has a responsibility to let you know about things throughout the audit process. It shouldn't be a surprise at the end where they say, oh, gotcha. Here's these five things. You should have known throughout the day what they've been finding.
Right.
Again, we are looking for that certification. We're looking for that piece of paper to prove we meet compliance to the standard and we're certified in it. But we want our quality management system to work for us as a business. It's not just about the piece of paper. So if you don't have any findings or you don't have something where you could get a little better at, is that really always beneficial?
Right.
Right. And that's, you know, part of what, you know, we do once we get our customers certified. We're always looking at, okay, how can we help the customers improve their systems now?
Continual improvement.
Exactly.
Yes. Yep.
It's not a one and done. We got the piece of paper. We're good. We don't have to look at it till next year.
Exactly.
If that's the approach, you're not going to get as much from this as you could.
Right.
Well, this has been great today. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
One thing that has kind of changed, stemming from, of course, the COVID pandemic, all audits used to be on-site. So audits were just an on-site activity, really wasn't questioned. And then, of course, COVID hit, changed the whole world. And we needed to find a way to continue to do audits effectively without actually physically being there.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Now, CORE, we've kind of been pioneering this. We've been doing remote audits even before COVID. So we were well positioned, COVID hit, that we could continue our audit processes without much delay. But the remote audits do add some wrinkles. Of course, your auditor is not physically on site. So they're really relying on technology, Microsoft Teams or Zoom for the web conferences, meetings, share screen.
So they don't physically have to have it like from a PDF or emailed to them or sent to them anyway. They can actually look at it on a shared screen?
Yeah. Yeah. If they have the files electronically, they can just share screen using the web conference tools and the auditor can verify evidence that way. Also, part of the expectation would be, you know, if they have the technology available to take a phone camera or something around the shop floor. So there are ways that the auditor can still see the physical presence, you know, out on the shop floor. It's just a little trickier with the remote audits.
Yeah, that makes sense. And if they're going to have to interview people, they're going to have that some way, whether you bring them into a central location where there's a camera and they can talk to the auditor, or whether it's on something mobile, a tablet or phone that you can carry around the...
Right.
Yeah. And remote audits have continued post-pandemic. There are some steps that you have to go through to actually qualify for remote audit. Not every standard has remote auditing, not every registrar. So, you know, talk to your registrar, but it's a great idea if you can do it because it's a lot less disruption to the business.
Usually cost savings as well, with travel.
Cost savings.
Yeah, it can be cost savings as well. You don't have to pay for the coffee.
Right. Yes, and lunch.
And lunch.
Yeah.
Well, this has been really informative. I really appreciate your help in answering some of these questions, maybe putting some of our listeners at ease a bit when it comes to the audit. It's not as stressful as you may think it may need to be. We really appreciate your time today, Joe and Suzanne. I know that you both care about our customers, and we certainly do appreciate your time for being here.
Indeed. Well, thank you so much, Xavier. It was great to be here.
Thank you, Xavier.
And thank you, everybody who's listened to the podcast today. We hope it's been informative and shed a little bit of light on the audit process. be sure to check out our Quality Hub podcast for next week, where we're actually going to talk about if you have any findings and what happens after the audit. Have a great day, everybody.